You may remain seated. In Jesus' name, who is, who was, and who is to come, our Savior in flesh and in glory, dear fellow redeemed. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Most will agree that Christmas is a time of joy. Throughout the world, people are celebrating this day. It is a time of kindness, a time of giving, a time of friendship, a time of family, a time to rejoice and be merry. And yet, how many people can really answer the question, what makes you happy about Christmas? Can they put it into words? A comfortable living, a comfortable chair, a nice gift under the tree, a good meal, family and parties and friends. These are some of the things that make people happy, at least for the moment. Is joy something that comes around one time a year and leaves a few days later? Paul writes in Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Doesn't sound like something that just comes and goes, does it? Well, the joys of this world are here today and gone tomorrow. The joy of Christmas is something that is here for us every day, every hour, every life. This is not a joy that is of the world or a joy of the things in the world. It is a joy that is to the world. We consider the Word which was made flesh, revealed in Isaiah chapter 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the Word which became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your Word is truth. Amen. One way Scripture gives us a sense of this word joy that we're considering is by setting it in contrast. Psalm 30 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Notice the contrast. Joy is set opposite of weeping. And this is perhaps the best way to define joy, by looking at its antonyms. Suffering, death, sorrow, or all the opposite of joy. That is, joy is the absence of sorrow, it's the absence of suffering, and it's the end of death. It's the end of the bad news. And so Isaiah writes, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." Before that moment of joy dawns on the mountaintop, we recognize a time of darkness, a time of bad news. It's that same bad news that Satan brought to Adam and Eve in the garden. He brings it to you too. He lays before you the promise of something better. Something God is holding back from you. If you just make the choices that feel good, if you just ignore that voice within you that's accusing you, if you ignore that clear word that God has given, You can find joy. It's like that twisted question, God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? Sin doesn't bring the glad tidings, it brings the bad tidings. When the world supposes that a little more giving, a little more kindness, a little more time with family spent this month is the meaning of Christmas joy, it really ignores the underlying wrong that is in every one of us since the world began in the fall into sin. It ignores the sorrow that contrasts joy, the sin that contrasts life, because joy is the absence of sin. It's the absence of death. Those things must be defeated for joy to come to us. Paul quotes this verse in his epistle to the Romans, chapter 10, saying, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The joy of Christmas is not our kindness, our giving, or anything that we do at all. Rather, it's a message. It's something proclaimed, it's something heard and believed, as is mentioned in our text repeatedly. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, or as one translation puts it, publishes salvation. As we said before, God has declared joy to the world. It's not in the world or of the world. It's a declaration of the end of all those bad things that we have brought into this world and that live in us and around us. It's the proclamation, a message, an announcement. It is good news. Where else but the birth of Christ is this found? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Soon after Isaiah writes this, the Jewish people will be carried off prisoners by the Babylonians to a foreign country. Their land will be taken away from them, their homes lost. And yet Isaiah writes, your God reigns. And verse 10, he has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. The arm, a picture of strength and power and victory. How can Isaiah say that God reigns in the midst of his people suffering? Where is joy? Maybe these aren't the right questions. In fact, Isaiah asks the right question in chapter 53. Just following this, he says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. He has no form or beauty. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This is the question. Who has believed that the arm of the Lord, the power, strength, and victory of God, has come through this lowly family, born of a virgin, lowly in a barn, raised in the village of Nazareth? Who has believed that this is the source of joy? One who would be condemned and crucified by the people he came to save. The arm of the Lord is revealed and known and seen through faith. The arm of God stripped bare. That God reigns in suffering. That he conquers by being conquered. That through the humbling coming of his Son, he humbles all. As Isaiah goes on, he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. By his stripes, we are healed. The birth of Jesus is the arm of the Lord revealed, because it means the end of sorrow, the end of suffering, and the end of death. so that all the ends of the earth should see the salvation of our God. To know that birth, witnessed and recorded in Scripture, is to see the salvation of God. In the crucifixion of the one despised by the nations, that wonder and power of God's might is witnessed. In the proclamation of the gospel going forth to you today, you are seeing salvation. Up and into the last day this will be true. As is written in Revelations, every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. But for now, while living on earth, this remains something hidden in Scripture. We see it not with the eyes of our flesh, but with the eyes of God's Spirit, as did Simeon in Luke chapter 2. As he looked at the baby Jesus, he said, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people." The appearance of Christ is the appearance of joy. So those faithful who were carried off to Babylon to suffer, to be imprisoned as slaves, see in these words brought to them by Isaiah their salvation. Not just the restoration of their homeland, their house, their families, but the restoration of all things. We too see hidden in the midst of suffering the salvation of God. This is what it really means to rejoice always, to know the victory. Psalm 98 is the basis for that hymn, Joy to the World. And in Psalm 98, we read, as we said in our intro, it, "O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises." This is the joy we know. That in Christ you have died and risen again. Joy is to know that through your baptism you've entered into the reign of God, his victory. In the presence of a perishing, suffering world, you are alive eternally. Now don't be mistaken. This doesn't mean that the Christian will always have a smile on his face. In the flesh, you will doubt. You'll be depressed. You're going to feel pain. But in all these things, you know an eternal joy that can't be taken away, that is restored for you in heaven. By believing in Jesus, you see the end of suffering. As Jesus himself said, "He who believes in me has passed from death to life already." It's the dawning of salvation. Verse 9, "Break forth into joy, sing together." Perhaps one of those most consistent themes in Scripture that contrasts joy is silence. True joy is not something that causes us to shrug our shoulders and move on. Joy means the end of silence. That's the sense of the word "break forth" here. As Isaiah also says in chapter 14, "The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing." It's from a resting, silent world, incapable of expressing real joy, that the heavenly cry comes forth, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace with God through his grace toward men." The shepherds returned in that joy. In our weakness, though, we don't always show this joy. We sometimes mope around. We're burdened by sin, and we're weak in our flesh. This is why the joy of Christmas is not just for one day or one season a year. It's something to be proclaimed Sunday after Sunday. It's something to be part of your life Monday after Monday, day after day, to return in repentance to this joy that breaks forth out of silence, to know that God is Emmanuel with us, now and forever. As Isaiah says in chapter 40, "O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains, lift up your voice, do not be afraid, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." Zion is that spiritual dwelling place of God, the church, where God sounds forth his good news of victory. It is here. It is now. Here in the gathering of believers, watchmen lift up their voices to proclaim the glad tidings to you when you are in the darkness, the valley, sin. We sing together. This fellowship of the gospel is not something to be sung in discord. It's to be sung in unison. It's not for one church to sing about one kind of salvation and another church to sing about another kind of salvation. There's only one song. As Paul writes in Romans, with one mind and one mouth we glorify God. This day, from Peace Through Christ in Middleton to Messiah in Hales Corners, Wisconsin. From Faith in Markazan to Luther in Fond du Lac. From Tanzania to Upland, Sweden, our fellowship gathers for one reason, to break forth with one voice and declare joy to the world. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Well, family, friendship, and food are things I like, and we enjoy. The songs we sing of joy are not just fa-la-la. They're so much deeper. We sang one such song, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. So what is joy? Joy is spelled J-E-S-U-S. It is a joy that won't be hindered by your sins or your weaknesses or your troubles. It's a joy that never ends. It's a joy given to all the world. As the angel said, do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, which are to you. Joy to the world. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the singing of our next hymn.